was against Alabama.
But what is he? You know, Skip said this. What do you think about that?
Yeah. Okay. Okay.
And then he goes down in 5-2 in the championship against Stanford. You came in 4 innings, no runs allowed, only 2 hits or whatever it was.
Graduating Alabama, sore arm in the final game. Struggling early in the season.
Struggled against Stanford in that game.
Not really.
Yeah, loaded the bases.
Well, you only gave up.
I know, but he loaded the bases.
Okay.
I'm not sure going from what I read, bro.
Okay.
Hey, you don't want to talk to him forever.
Yeah, okay. All right, and he's in financial investment in Lafayette. He was not able to go to the reunion. Graduated in Alabama. Oh, just 2 years with the Braves?
That's what it says on
baseball.com or whatever. Okay. All right. Maybe we can talk about the crowds at Alex Box, too, to go along with Skip talking about the crowds. You want to do that? Yeah, right.
So, getting to comment on new Alex Box, if he's been there.
Oh, he might not have been.
Get him, and also, you know, we may keep
go ahead.
We may keep it or we may not. Get him to comment on the team right now.
Okay.
Hello.
Hey, Trey.
Yeah, go ahead.
Hey, this is Glenn. How you doing? And we also have my executive editor here, Todd Horn.
How you doing, Trey?
Okay. Hey, Todd.
All right, dude, we just talked to the skipper, and he talked about how he used to call you Trey Rutledge.
Yes.
We'll touch on that, but
Okay,
all right. So,
well, let's give him a rundown. So,
okay.
This isn't live, right? So, we can stop, cut, retake. If you say something you don't like or you don't want to say it a certain way, just let us know and we'll pause and restart because we're going to edit it all together and intersperse your comments with Skip's as we were just talking to him. So we're going to try to make it sound polished and live, but if at any time we need to stop or do something else, we can do that. Okay?
Yeah, I got you.
All right. Three. You guys ready? All right.
Yep.
Three. Two, one. Welcome back to the On Base with Skip Bertman podcast, and now we're joined by the most outstanding player of the 2000 World Series, pitcher Trey Hodges. Trey, how are you?
Hey, Glenn, doing great. Thanks for having me.
I thought his name was Rutledge.
Skip just was telling us how he used to call you Trey Rutledge. What do you remember about that, Trey Hodges? And what did you think the first time you heard him call you that? Trey Rutledge, of course, former pitcher in the early years under Skip at LSU.
Yeah, I know, Skip. I believe my junior year, I was a junior college transfer, and you know, relatively speaking, I guess expected to be a big part of the team. And, you know, Skip was really good about, you know, not allowing, you know, anyone to be bigger than the team, you know? And so I think part of that was calling guys by, you know, a different name. And for me, fortunately or unfortunately, there was a player about a decade prior that, had the same first name. So I was, you know, given the name of Trey Rutledge for about 2 years of my career there.
So is it true that in the actual College World Series final against Stanford, when he called your name to go into the game, he called you Rutledge then too?
Now, did he admit to that?
I don't know. I'm trying to get the story straight, and I don't remember.
Because I was curious because, yes, championship game, games on the line. I mean, basically the – you know, I came to LSU to win a championship. So back in that day, there was no NIL I don't like what's happening here. I'm going to bounce around the five different schools. I mean, I went to LSU and was fully committed and my only purpose to come to LSU was to win a championship. And yeah, and so the biggest moment of my career, and probably one of the, you know, I would say probably one of the bigger moments in Skip's career, you know, he looks at me and calls me the wrong name on probably on purpose. And and I'm thinking, you know, I really, looking back at that moment, Skip was so forward thinking and so tactical with everything that he did, which really separated him from the vast majority of coaches at any level. But looking back, I think the brilliance of him doing that, because what it, you know, I guess what it did for me in the moment was, you know, he called me the wrong name, and I, under my breath, looked at him and said, you know, probably something back to him, instead of being concerned, right, about, oh my God, I'm about to go in and the game's on the line and this is it right here, right? So I think, again, what a brilliant move by him to know what buttons to push with certain people.
So it's kind of like he Jedi mind screwed you a little bit there, then took your mind off of the big task at hand that you had right before you.
Correct. Yeah, and also I'm a kind of, you know, if I to give an analogy, I kind of saw myself as a Michael J. Fox guy from Back to the Future. I can't remember the guy's name, but
Marty.
But anyway, I was,
Marty.
Yeah, Marty. Marty McFly.
Marty McFly.
Kinda, I was also the kind of guy that if, like, and Skip would do this for me too. You know, he would basically challenge me by saying, "Well, you know, you see Rutledge, he can't throw a changeup." And so I would go, "Oh yeah," you know, to myself, I'd be like, "Oh yeah, you think I can't throw a changeup?" So then he would inspire me to prove him wrong, right? So. Again, just so brilliant and knowing what to say and how to say and when to say it to guys.
Yeah, and the way you explain that, it reminded me of the chapter in the book now, because that's exactly what happened. He did call you Rutledge in the book, and you said the same thing in the book that you just said, that it kind of took the pressure off of you for a moment. But that's amazing. And you and Trey Hodges, you were dealing with something else that day. You had a sore arm because you had pitched just 2 days before to get the save against Florida State. You were in for two-thirds of an inning in the ninth, and you pitched also, 3 days before that, you threw six innings against Southern California, four hits, three strikeouts. So then you come in for the third time in like just a matter of about a week. You were taking Advil. Just what was that like? And were you surprised at all that Skip went with you in that championship game because of the use of your arm prior, or did you already know? Did he tell you to be ready?
Well, yeah, you know, Skip, a little bit different era of baseball, you know, back then, and the way Skip did the lineup, at least with the pitching, he'd have a starting pitcher first up, you know, so first up meant could be the first inning, could be the ninth inning, but basically you're the first guy that the team's going to go to because usually it's a critical moment. And I think he might even had, you know, the closer, you know, scheduled. So certainly, you know, believed that, you know, I could have received the ball and, you know, willing to do anything and everything I could do to help the team as well. And, yeah, just a little bit sore, a little tired, you know. I mean, it put a couple – I mean, the outing against USC was essentially a start. You know, Ben Saxon had gone out and was pitching essentially the game of his life and then got a blister on his finger. And so I was kind of thrust into that situation a lot quicker than anyone expected. But yeah, so obviously you're going to have a little fatigue, a little soreness. And, thankfully just, you know, looking back at that game, thankfully my defense, Blair Barbier in particular and Brad Hopp with the scoop at first, saved me in that first inning when I came out of, you know, came into the game. I wasn't quite sharp yet. I wasn't quite loose yet, you know, wasn't quite in the groove yet. And they made, both of them combined, you know, made a phenomenal play on a ground ball down the line. And it allowed me to kind of catch my sea legs. And then, you know, once you kind of get the blood flowing enough and the Advil's kicked in, you know, you kind of, you're kind of at full, you're at full staff at that point.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah. And God, Ben Saxon, what a guy he was. He was the comedian on that team. And you mentioned Blair Barbier's play. I mean, he played second base. That was his first year playing third. And then when he was in minor league baseball, they tried to make him a catcher, but boy, he could play third when it counted. Now Trey, Skip just talked a lot about graduating pitchers, and also a lot in the book is you discuss your game at Alabama, which is when you graduated. What do you remember about that series?
Yeah, again, you know, going back, I was a junior college guy, came in as a junior, pitched really well coming in that fall, and then season started with an injury, torn bicep tendon. So, you know, had the surgery, rehabbed, and kind of fought my way back into a useful position my senior year. And, you know, anytime you're coming back from a major surgery, you're going to have some ups and downs, and it just takes time, you know, to kind of get back to, you know, you might be, I guess, medically healthy, but, you know, being, I guess, 100% back to, you know, that level of performance is a different thing. And yeah, that SEC tournament, we were playing Alabama. I mean, it was just anyone that pitched got hit. I mean, I think the score was like 12 to 13 when I came in. And for whatever reason, that was the day, you know, it just clicked, you know, and I could feel it. You know, it's one of those things as an athlete, you know it. And that day I knew it. I knew that I was back 100%, and it's hard to fake that, right? I mean, when you feel it, you know it, and then you start executing off of that, and then it's all downhill from there. So, and, you know, you think about when that happened. You know, that happened right before the regionals and whatnot. And up until that point, I'd pitched okay, but I hadn't, you know, got back to that full 100% performance level. And so what perfect timing to get back to that moment right before the regionals.
Speaking of perfect timing, Trey, LSU goes into this weekend, huge series against Arkansas. They really got to win two to kind of secure their top eight seed. What do you think of LSU's pitching this? Or let me just ask you, what do you think of LSU's chances against Arkansas in this series?
Well, you know, this day and age, again, it's a different era. And with NIL, the SEC is just an absolute – I mean, not that it wasn't – hard back when we were there, but I would say it's even more difficult now. I mean, it's just a bloodbath of talent. And so the reality is anyone can win on any day. And I mean, that has never been more true than now. And so the line between a team getting swept and a team winning two out of three is so fractional that, you know, that is so it's like, well, what's going to happen? I don't know. I mean, the reality is you got two really good teams. Arkansas is coming off of a sweep against Texas, you know, so they look to be playing really well. LSU just lost two out of three in A&M to a team that, you know, really wasn't at the top of the leaderboard, but I mean, certainly a good team and a tough place to play. So, you know, look, LSU is just going to, as I always say, the team that does the little things right in the biggest moments is the team that wins. So that's LSU's got to get back to the basics and make sure they do all the little things right.
Now, Trey, you've been to the new box, the noise level. How does it compare to the box you played in, and how much do you think the crowd will impact LSU this weekend?
Well, you know, probably the biggest game that I've been at in the new box was when LSU played UL on a Saturday night, I believe. You know, that was probably, I don't know, 5, 6, 7, 8 years ago, somewhere in there. and that was the
regional.
Game.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. They had a fight. And
in
everything.
Fact, I was there to watch Wyatt Marks, who I had actually, you know, helped a little bit,
right?
You know, mechanically. And so I remember telling my wife, I was like, "Oh my God! Like, I don't even I'm almost like scared for Wyatt." I mean, it was so ravenous. You
wow.
know? I mean, the crowd was so energetic, and I remember the old box. You know what I think made, in a way, I guess our perception of the old box being, you know, in a way better or noisier, was it was so modest, you know, and then you just had this overwhelming crowd.
Sure.
And in a way, I think now with this bigger, beautiful stadium, you probably have even a better crowd noise because obviously you got more people, but it might not have the same effect because before it was like, you know, people sitting in lawn chairs and standing on a fence post and just crazy people everywhere. Where now maybe the crowd's a little bit more, you know, a little bit more professional, so to say, because of the field, you know, it's a little bit nicer and better. You know, I do remember that UL game and thinking, holy cow, this is what an overwhelming moment for this kid and his family.
Wow, cool. Well, Trey, thanks a lot. Thanks a lot for your World Series in 2000. And thanks for joining us. Continued success in financial management and Lafayette, and hope to see you at the box soon.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
All right. Thank you all for listening to the first installment of On Base. Thank you all for joining us on the first installment of the On Base with Skip Bertman podcast. See you next time.
Thank you, Trey.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
See, I left you a pause there. Trey, thanks if you're still there, buddy.
Yes, right. Yeah. Thank you, Glenn.
Oh, okay.
Good talking.
Good to see you. Good talk to you. Thanks.
Yes, sir. Thanks. Bye-bye.